gospel. I've got a message. We're going to start tonight in 2 Kings chapter 2, so you can kind of turn your Bibles there. Let me just give a little. Is everything else muted? Weird. Okay, we'll just turn down the house volume a little bit. Everybody can hear me pretty well, can't you? Good. There you go. Problem solved. All right, let's get into the message tonight. This is not going to take me very long, but we've got some other business to attend to as well. So in 2 Kings chapter 2, we're going to start reading, and I'm going to read a good portion of Scripture here, a little bit of a story for you to get us going. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1, "And it came to pass, when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, 'Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel.' But Elisha said, 'As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you.' So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophet," by the way, you can see Elijah is expecting something to happen here. He knows something's going on, and he's on a little journey, and he wanted Elisha to stay back. But Elisha has different ideas here. "Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, 'Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?'" See, Elijah knew this was coming up. "And these prophets also know that Elijah is about to be taken by the Lord. And he said, 'Yes, I know. Keep silent.'" That's Elisha. "I know. Be quiet about it." "So then Elijah said to him, 'Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho.' But he said, 'As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you.' So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, 'Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?'" I hear a recurring theme. "So he answered, 'Yes, I know. Keep silent.' Then Elijah said to him, 'Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan.' But he said, 'As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you.' So the two of them went on, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, 'Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?' Elisha said, 'Please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me.' So he said, 'You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so.' Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, 'My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen.' So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, 'Where is the Lord God of Elijah?' And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over." This is quite a remarkable story. You have Elijah, the great prophet of Israel, and his protege, Elisha, following along with him. And Elijah is going to be taken by the Lord, and he's trying to, it seems, remove himself from Elisha. Elisha, you stay here. I'm going to go on to this. You stay there. I'm going to go on to the next thing. You stay here. I'm going to go to the Jordan. But Elisha will have none of it. He's going to hang on to the coattails of Elijah because he has a dream. Elisha has a dream. He has a dream of having a double portion of what Elijah operated in. A double portion of his spirit. And there's a whole lot we could teach about this, but I'm going to focus tonight on dreams. Let's pray. Father, thank you for blessing us with another evening of an opportunity to be in your presence, to hang out with like-minded believers, to fellowship in your spirit, and to know that you are among us. And I pray that you continue to show us yourself in strong and mighty ways. Lord, that as we look ahead still to the new year, that you bring new insight and new revelation and new inspiration to us through your word and through our time of prayer. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask you this. How many of you can say that you have or had a God-given dream? Let me just see a show of hands. Okay, a good number of you. Some of you have never had a God-given dream. A God-given dream is something, I'm not talking about a dream you've gone to sleep and all of a sudden God shows you something in a dream during your sleep. Now, it could show up that way. God could speak to you in a dream in that way. But I'm talking about you have a vision. You have a sense of God's purpose and design for something he has intended for you. So maybe that helps you understand more of what I'm looking for. You sense that God is moving me in this direction, and I can see on the horizon that he has a plan for me, and I am going to pursue that. That you just have this, as the old believers would say, an unction to move ahead into some new area, to move ahead maybe into some new ministry, to move ahead to a new job maybe. In some form or fashion, you have a dream, a vision of something that God has in store for you. Elisha had that vision. He had that desire. He wanted to see with all of his heart Elijah being taken by God and receive a double portion of what he had been experiencing as the protege of Elijah. Now, let me ask again, from that perspective, how many of you can say that you have now or have had in the past a God-given dream? Oh yeah, a little bit more. Great, great. Well, as your pastor, I have a message for you. We must dream more. And we must dream bigger because our God is bigger than our dreams. I want you to consider that God-given dream, that vision that you have of what God is going to do in your life and where he's going to take you and where he wants you to be. I want you to think of that in relation to how big our God is. See, there is no dream, no godly desire, no prayer or goal that is bigger than our awesome God. We have to begin thinking bigger. Let's be honest. We just dream too small. When you think about that God-given dream that you just maybe raised your hand for, is it really big? Most times we think way too small. We think, wait, when you consider who God is. See, we need to begin to believe God for the bigger things. We need to begin to believe God for the harder things. Oftentimes, we're just believing God for the next week's rent. Well, that's a good thing to believe for, but I hope your dreams extend beyond just meeting your need, the basic needs that you might have for the next few days and weeks, and even for this year. Do you have a big dream? You've got a big God who desires to use you, who desires to raise you up to fulfill some of His purpose and plan for your life. God did not plan for you to just be a day in, day out, go to work, handle the normal activities of human life. See, you were created for a purpose. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do works which God prepared in advance for us to do. And if you think that work is just going to that 9-to-5 job every day for the rest of your life until it's retirement time, you've missed the whole purpose and plan of God. You do not see the dream that God has for you. So we need to be dreamers. We need to dream bigger. And then we need to pursue those dreams with God-given faith. Now, I am actually rather delighted that our young people are in with us tonight. And I'm just as delighted that our senior folks are in with us tonight, because God-given dreams don't start or end at any age. I mean, I'm hoping that our young people are right now dreaming about what God has for them, what purpose God is going to use them for, how they can be examples of Jesus Christ in this world and bring glory to God in ways that they never imagined. And I'm hoping that same thing for our seniors. As long as there's breath in your lungs and you're alive on this earth, you've got a purpose, you've got a plan, and God can raise up a dream in you that will inspire you to do things you never thought possible. In fact, some people just catch on to this later in life, and they start seeing God move in ways because they begin believing for God for more. They start believing God for the harder things. And then they're amazed. It's like, wow, where was I 30 years ago? How did I miss that? In Matthew 9:29, Jesus said this. He said, according to your faith, let it be to you. Do you have faith for bigger things? Not faith in you. Not faith in your education. Not faith in your government. Do you have faith in God for bigger things that only God can do? For things big enough that only God could enable it. Our faith in God's abilities is the key to seeing our dreams come to pass. I think one of the reasons, the predominant reason we have small dreams or very little dreams is we don't recognize just how big and how wonderful and how powerful and how involved in our lives that God is and wants to be. Again, in the United States, in this country, we are so blessed that you can get by just by showing up. You know, you don't really have to struggle all that much. I mean, we do have struggles, but you know what I'm talking about. This is a land of plenty. This is a land of opportunity. You can make a lot of good things happen just because you're in this country and this kind of culture with all of the benefits that we have. And oftentimes I think that's a hindrance to us looking for even more. We recognize we're blessed. We recognize we're comfortable. This ain't bad, right? I mean, as far as lives go, this is pretty good stuff. If you were impoverished in a poor country, you'd be calling on God a lot more. It's just the way it is. You'd be believing God for a lot more. And we need to believe God for more. Our faith in God and in God's abilities is the key to seeing our dreams come to pass. So let me ask you just a few questions. Why have we settled for so little when we serve such a big God? I don't want you to answer. I just want you to think about that. Why have we settled for so little? He's such a big God. Why are we content to just ask God for the things that seem possible? Why not ask God for the impossible? I tell you, this is a good way to start out the new year. Start thinking about this year. What great and wonderful and impossible thing could God do in your life if you could believe Him for it? Think about Elisha. Elisha, he's a dreamer. I mean, he follows Elijah everywhere. And he had this dream, the dream to be just like his mentor. You know, even when Elijah tries to turn him away several times, Elisha stays with him. Why? Because he is pursuing his dream. He is not taking no for an answer, if you will. Others got the news of Elijah's departure, but Elisha wasn't paying attention to that. He wasn't about to miss out on his opportunity just because Elijah might be going away. Finally, Elijah says there in verse 9, if you look at verse 9 again, when they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what may I do for you?" And Elisha's response was to blurt out his dream. And he says, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. I want a double portion." You have to understand who Elijah is. Elijah is the prophet. I mean, the big time prophet. The prophet that predicted a 3.5-year drought and it came to pass. The prophet that raised a child from the dead. The prophet that had a showdown on Mount Carmel with the other prophets of Baal. He called fire down from heaven. And he defeated those other prophets and slew all of them. Elijah. And Elisha is saying, "I want to have a double portion of what that guy has." That's big thinking. Notice what he says. In verse 10, he says, "You have asked a hard thing." When's the last time you asked a hard thing of God? Think about that. Elisha is asking a hard thing. I think he knows it. Well, I started thinking about this. How do you put this? Because, you know, we don't have Elijah the prophet to go, "Wow, that's really impressive to want double the spirit that Elijah had." So I thought, let's look at some sports figures. Let's say you had the same mindset with some sports figures, like Aaron Rodgers. You know, there was one game that Aaron Rodgers passed for over 400 yards. One game, 400 yards. He threw 4 touchdown passes in that one game, and he ran for 2 other touchdowns himself. So think about his backup quarterback on the bench saying, "Okay, I want to do twice what he did." So that'd be a quarterback that would throw for 800 yards, throw 8 touchdown passes, and run in 4 more touchdowns just on his own. You ask a hard thing. How about Michael Phelps? Michael Phelps, the greatest Olympic gold medal winner in history, has won 23 gold medals. What if you said, I want to be twice that? Can't you see, Michelle, she's just snickering because that just seems, how do you win 46 Olympic gold medals? Or just think Tom Brady. I know one of Sarah's favorites. No. But Tom Brady has won 6 Super Bowls. What if you said, I want to do twice that? 12 Super Bowls. Can you imagine one quarterback having won 12 Super Bowls? Will Chamberlain has the record for scoring the most number of points in a basketball game. 100 points in one game. What if that little scrawny guy sitting on the bench said, I want to be twice that and score 200 basketball points in a game? Well, that's what Elisha. He'd been with Elijah and seen all of the great things that he'd done, or at least heard all of the things that he'd done. He said, I want double portion of your spirit. This guy's a dreamer. This guy he's got faith. Ha. 2 Kings, verse 10 again. You'll notice where he said, you have asked a hard thing, but I love this next word. Nevertheless. That's what he's saying. If you will do this, you'll see it. Here's what I believe. I believe in many ways. You know, the Bible, the Old Testament, is just filled with types and shadows of Jesus, right? We can look and see Jesus in so many different ways through the Old Testament. Elijah is, in a sense, a type of Jesus. And what was his advice to Elisha? Basically, you just keep your eyes on me. Keep me in your sight. If you do that, what you ask will be done. I think that Jesus would say the same thing. Believe for the big things and keep your eyes on me. Believe for bigger things. Dream bigger dreams. And keep your eyes on me. God is bigger than our dreams. I mean, he is the God of the impossible. He wants us to believe the impossible. Will you do it? We need to start dreaming bigger, people. Not bigger people. Don't be dreaming for bigger people. Dream bigger, people. So, how can we develop dreams that are more in line with the magnitude and the magnificence of God? The answer, of course, is almost always the answer, by faith. You see, if you operate on logic, you're back to small dreams. You start thinking about, okay, what really is possible? I mean, in my life, what could be possible? And I start thinking my way through. I logically think about how far can I really go? You do that, you're back to small dreams. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith it is impossible to please God. And corporately, I want to challenge you to grow your dream. If you already have a God-given dream, I want you to dream a little bigger. God has given you a direction. Dream a bit beyond that. Dream more, because God is big. Your dreams are likely too small. It's time for us to believe God for the hard things. It's time for us to believe God for the impossible things. Man, oh man. Let me teach you four things. Four things about dreaming and these big dreams. And then I'm going to ask you to come to the front and we're going to pray together and we're going to consecrate those dreams to the Lord. Four things. First and foremost, we must have dreams. If you haven't been dreaming, if you haven't been seeking God for that God-given dream, that God-given direction, that God-given inspiration that will propel you into greater and greater exploits with God, then you need to start dreaming. Proverbs 29:18, one of our common scriptures, says, where there is no revelation, or in some versions, where there is no dream, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. Where is the vision? Do you have a vision? Do you have that dream of where you want to go, where you want God to take you? Without it, people perish. Whenever God wants to accomplish something in your life, he ignites a desire. He ignites a passion for it. So one of the things that I advise folks when they say, well, I'm not sure where I'm supposed to go or what God wants for me, you start asking, what gets you excited? What are you passionate about? We had a pastor that one time used to say, what is it that gets you so worked up that you're on the floor pounding the floor and you're biting the carpet and you say, I can't wait for something to change and something has to change? Well, that's probably God prompting you to do something to make that change. God will ignite that desire. He will ignite that passion. He will spring forth that dream, because dreams provide motivation to move us forward. Dreams are like a blueprint for building. When you have that dream, you have that vision before you, it kind of gives you direction. Sadly, dreamers are often the laughingstock of society. People who have big dreams, people who are dreaming and believing for the impossible, get laughed at because most people don't have much of a dream. Sometimes it works that way in the church too. But be a dreamer. Be a dreamer. Joseph was a dreamer. You know the story of Joseph. He has this dream about his brothers all bowing down to him. And even his mother and father were going to bow down to him one day. That was a dream that he had. And that brought scorn and ridicule. And his brothers actually were going to kill him, but they eventually sold him into slavery. And Joseph ends up as a slave and eventually in prison. But eventually, he ends up in the palace, second only to Pharaoh. And nobody was laughing at Joseph. Nobody was ridiculing Joseph when all of them were fed because of the dream that he had. Be a dreamer. Your dream must be bigger than you. You must have dreams, and they've got to be bigger than you. In other words, it has to require faith, or else you're simply going to try and accomplish it on your own. I've had direction and inspiration from God and tried to accomplish the end goal on my own, and it just didn't work out well. And it really wasn't that big a deal. I mean, it wasn't that big a dream because I was always trying to calculate, okay, how can I make that happen? It must be bigger than you. It has to require. And even if you're successful, even if it's a big thing and you can pull it off on your own, well, it won't be a God thing. right? We know people who have had great accomplishments without God, but it wasn't a God thing. And if you do the same thing, it won't be a God thing. And all of the praise and the glory that could be going to God for this great thing that was accomplished will be missed. God is worthy of that glory. So dream and dream big, beyond yourself. The second thing, we must do something with the God-given dream. I think this is where a lot of it falls apart. We must move and we've got to take action on our dream. You got to do something about it. Nothing is going to happen until you begin to move forward. Faith is an action word. Just as Elisha had to follow Elijah, he had to stay close to him if he was going to see his dream fulfilled. He didn't just say, well, you go on ahead and I'll just still sit here and hold on to my hope and my dream of having a double portion. No, he had to do something to see that dream come to pass. He had to follow him and act on his dream. Remember again, faith is active. It's not passive. I have this God-given dream. So then what do I do with it? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me help you here. Two things. We all need to do two things with the dreams that God has given us. Number one, you need to make the necessary sacrifices of time and money and energy toward that dream. Again, you can have a big faith-inspired dream, but if you don't do anything toward that dream, God's not just going to flip a switch and all of a sudden, there it is. So, I just try and come up with an example. You have a dream to open some sort of a ministry for wayward children. All right, let's just pick that. If you just sit on your couch and watch, you know, reruns of Seinfeld, those orphans or those wayward children are not going to ever see their refuge, their home. You've got to do something. There are steps that you can begin to take, even at the very beginning of a dream when you go, I have no idea how this is going to happen, but at least I can take a step in this direction. Make sacrifices and start moving toward that dream. You know, Sarah and I both had a God-given dream, had a God-given vision that God gave to us separately about coming to this area and starting a church. And the moment that we recognized that the time had come, well, we just started doing all kinds of crazy things. We started traveling from Missouri, from St. Joseph, Missouri, to Algoma once a month, actually once every 6 weeks. And we didn't have anything here. We didn't have a church. We didn't even really have much in the way of people. We just started making some connections. And then we started coming about once every 4 weeks. Why? Because we had this dream. And we were willing to put time and effort and energy and money and whatever resources we had to see God fulfill it. And eventually, we started coming up every other week. Every other week. You try that traveling back and forth. But we were willing to make the sacrifice. Why? Because we had a God-given dream. And eventually, we ended up here. And eventually, we opened a church and all of that. Amazing stuff, but if we would have just sat around in Missouri going, yeah, I got a dream, you got a dream? Whoa, okay, let's just dream on that. Nothing would have happened. We wouldn't be here. All right, that's the first thing you need to do, make the sacrifice. Second thing you need to do if you've got a God-given dream is quit living in the past. Let go of the past failures. See, because oftentimes someone will get a dream and things just don't go right, or they couldn't pull something off earlier for whatever reason. It didn't happen the way they thought it would, and they just get stumbled up and tripped up by their own lack of faith because of the past, or lack of courage because of the past. If you failed in the past, let that be in the past. Let that be in the past. Philippians 3, 13 and 14, the Apostle Paul says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press on." Forget those things that are behind. Press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And when I talk about forgetting what is behind, I often have to remind people you have to forget about all of the past successes too. Because it oftentimes becomes very easy to go, "Yeah, wasn't that great how we did that? How God really moved in that situation? That was so good." And you never want to move away from that. There are a lot of people that I've come across, particularly on the elderly side, who were around during the days of the Jesus movement and around during times of great revival and when real healing ministries and all kinds of things were taking place in various parts. And you know, you saw so much fun and exciting stuff, and you want to stay there. And you'll hear them say, "Well, I remember when Catherine Kuhlman had her meetings, and man, you'd be surprised at all the stuff that happened in one of those meetings." And they're all just hung up on that and not ready to move ahead to what God is doing today. Sometimes you have to forget about all the great things that happened in the past too, so that you can move ahead, so that you can look with new eyes about what God is doing, wanting for your life now. So those two things, put energy towards that dream, towards that goal, make some sacrifices, and quit living in the past. Be willing to move forward. The third thing, not the third thing about that, but the third point here on dreams. Dreams often get delayed. I was going to say, everybody who had a dream that God, raise your hand, I don't want to know. I think all of us have had dreams that we thought were going to happen, right? Unfortunately, see, we get with God. We want our dreams to materialize instantly. Well, maybe you don't, but I do. You know, God says we're going to see a crusade and 100,000 people are going to get saved. And I'm thinking, all right, next weekend, here we go. No, it's probably going to take a little longer than next weekend before that happens. But it's a dream that you can hold on to. Habakkuk 2, chapter 2, verses 2 and 3 are scriptures that I often refer to when I'm thinking about what God has spoken to me, and while I'm waiting, because I'm thinking, Lord, when is this going to happen? When? You've shown me the great and glorious things. When? And this is what it says. "Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision or dream and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait. Wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." In other words, it's not gonna be gone forever. We get impatient. Listen to me. Dreams most often take time. Most often, there is a time frame to them, and we have to stay the course. The important thing is that we keep steady, keep steadily moving toward that dream, toward that vision that God has given us, trusting God to bring it to pass. And again, don't feel like you're the only one who's ever waited. I mean, Noah waited 120 years for the rain to start falling. 120 years. How many of us would have given up after the third year? Say, well, I guess I didn't get that right, or I'm going to go for a different dream. I didn't like that dream. Noah waited 120 years. Abraham was told that he was going to be the father of many nations. And he had to wait until he was 99 years old to have a child before he became a father. Moses had a dream, a vision of rescuing the people of Israel, his people, from the bondage that they were in. And Moses ended up spending 40 years in a desert waiting for that dream. But it came to pass, didn't it? He waited. He was faithful. David, King David, was anointed as a young man to be king. But he waited many, many years until he actually sat on the throne of Israel. So God will give you a vision. God will give you dreams. You need to hold on to those dreams. They will take time. They may tarry. Don't let go. Continue to pursue them. Continue to follow hard after God. I tell you, the hardest thing you'll ever do on your way to fulfilling your dream is to hold on to your faith during those times of delay. Very difficult, but you must hold on. We must hold on. How many countless dreams were abandoned before they were ever realized? Just given up on. Because we lost faith. Because we didn't see what we thought. And that really is part of the problem with holding on to that dream, is oftentimes we have our concept of how it's supposed to work. And we almost always have our idea of when it's going to come to pass. And when our ideas start to diverge from what is really happening, we tend to go, yeah, well. And we get bored with it, or we get tired of it, and we don't want to sacrifice anymore, and we just give up on it. The hardest thing you'll do is hold on to your faith during that time of waiting, during that time of delay. But hold on. Realize when you hold on, it will happen. The scripture says, though it tarries. And my last point on this, number four, when the dream comes true, dream some more. Oh man, your dream came true. You saw God fulfill that thing that He'd put in your heart, that He prompted you to do. The reality of God's promise manifested in your life. You won the fight of faith. You were able to hang in there. You saw that dream come true, and now what? Dream again. Dream again. See, when the dream is realized, it's not over. The fulfillment of that dream is usually the beginning of another dream. Seriously. When God shows Himself glorious and wonderful in your life, and He brings about that very thing that you've longed for, that very thing that He put the desire in your heart for, when that comes to pass, it's not over. Now dream again, and now dream bigger. Now hold on to faith even tighter. See, God has demonstrated His faithfulness. Now is the time again to begin to dream again. And dream on what you've seen Him already do. That should boost your faith. That should allow you to dream for bigger things, for harder things, for more impossible things. God is bigger than our dreams. Which is to say, He has more dreams for us to fulfill. He has more dreams. And I tell you, God loves a dreamer. Don't limit God. Don't limit your life with puny dreams, with just small aspirations. God has some exciting things for all of us, for each and every one of us. And let me address that too. Some of you might be thinking, well, yeah, Pastor Bill, of course, you can dream and God's going to do some great things for you, but I'm not a pastor, and I don't even know all that much about God, but I'm telling you, you can begin to dream. Because it's not based on me. You know, the Bible says God is no respecter of persons. He'll do for you just like he'll do for anybody else. If you'll have faith, if you'll trust him, if you'll open your heart to his prompting, his leading, to his dream for you, God loves a dreamer. And he wants to see you grow in this area. Stop limiting your dreams and limiting your life. Go to a big God with a big dream and watch him bring it to pass. Hallelujah. Our God is a mighty, mighty, mighty God. So ask him like you would talk to a mighty, mighty, mighty God. Now, I specifically kept this message shorter than normal because I wanted to take time to pray for your dreams. Either to pray that God reveals the dream for you that he desires you to pursue. If you don't have that, if you are saying, well, I don't really have that. Well, I'd like to pray for you to begin to see and sense what God's purpose and vision and dream for you is. If you have a dream that you've been holding on to, but you haven't yet seen that materialize, I'd like us to be praying for you to join our faith with your faith, to once again affirm that God's plan and his purpose are real, and he is more than able, highly capable of doing whatever it is that he has put in your heart. Well, I'd be happy to pray for that. Or any other part of this message that you would like prayer about. But we need to start dreaming bigger. Ready to dream about what God can do in 2020 and beyond? Do you have any? Think about this. Do you have some dreams for your family? Do you have some dreams for this church? I mean, it is easy to just kind of go with the flow and let life take you wherever it goes. Or we can begin to direct that path. We can begin to seek God for his purpose and his vision for us, for our life, for our family, for our church, for our community. You know, right now, Pastor Ben has been praying that we come up with some ministry that goes well beyond the church walls, something that we can really sink our teeth into. And he's praying for that. Maybe we should be praying for that dream and that vision to be centered in him so that he can lead us that way. You know, it's one of those things where he's just got this desire that we be doing something like that, but he hasn't yet seen quite what that is. So we can pray for some clarity in that. Amen? So, if you would like prayer for your dream, whether you need a dream or whether you have a dream, would you just come up forward? And I'll ask Sarah. Sarah knows how to pray for people with dreams. Gary, you want to join in on this? Pray for, and we'd be happy to pray for you if you've got a dream and you want some prayer too. Who else would like to, let's do that. Who has a dream to be used by God in prayer for people who have dreams? Anybody here want to join in? I'm looking for people who are willing to actually lay hands on those folks who come forward to pray. Okay, well, that's just me and that's it. All right. I'll pray for y'all. And Sarah's going to join us. And Gary said he would. And if you change your mind, you say, oh, yeah, I want to be a part of that, then come on up here and let's lay some hands on folks and pray. Otherwise, I mean, you can hang out here and pray with us, join us in faith, or you can be dismissed. But if you do go, just do so quietly. So come on up here, praying people, and those, yeah, you can add a little ambiance. Anybody want prayer for their dream, to receive a dream? Come on. This is the time. Do you have a dream? I'm going to. Oh, bless her.